get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, it's been a Valentine's week.
It has been, so we're still talking love. love.
Love still in the air.
Yes.
So this morning, we're going to be talking about a subject that a lot of buyers don't know about and a lot of sellers don't know. They get caught by surprise when they get one of these, which is a love letter from a buyer. Now, what is a love letter from a buyer?
Well, a love letter from a potential buyer, someone who's making an offer on a property, is just, it can range from a handwritten note to something typed up with pictures, without pictures. It is a plea to the seller, pick me over all the others. We're nice people. We've got a disabled child. We've got mom lives next door. Whatever you want to say to make that seller choose you over anybody else.
So this has caused quite a bit of conflict within the real estate community over, do you use love letters? Do they work? Do they abide by fair housing laws?
Well, that's the state of Oregon has passed a law against it, against issuing a love letter. And I'm not sure exactly how that law works. It could be that the realtor is unable to pass the love letter along.
But
they've outlawed it. You're not to do it. And all of that stems from National Association of Realtors, NAR, fair housing, enforcement of fair housing. They don't want anyone to get an unfair advantage over another protected class of people. And there are some protected classes of people.
Right.
I'll tell you something's not protected. Someone who doesn't have money, that's not protected. So, familial status is a protected class. So, to say we're a young married couple that just had triplets.
We want to raise our kids in this home. We can see every room being filled.
That we could hide the Easter eggs in the backyard amongst the bulbs that you have growing. We love that it backs up to the neighborhood park because we spend a lot of time outdoors. There are so many things that the people put in these letters, and they're not new. They've been around for literally decades.
Let's start with, how do you deal with love letters when you're on the selling side, when you are working with the seller?
Which I do most on our team. Yep. I work with sellers mostly, right? So when I'm presented with 15 offers on one property, and two of them have love letters with them, what do I do with that? Well, I do tell my seller that two of the offers came with love letters, and I explain what a love letter is, basically telling them, why should you pick me? I said, but the real love here is their offer. I mean, I've had two people in my career chose the worst offer because of a love letter.
Really?
Yes.
So there was something in the letter that moved their hearts.
Well, one of them needed a total redo, this house, and it was a family home that this woman that was the successor trustee was in charge of selling. And I had offers $60,000 above viable offers from investors wanting to flip the house.
Okay.
And then this family came along and said, this is a family. We've got the ability to do the updates needed. We can tear. We can. It's evident. We can really tell that this home has been well taken care of. And it was a one owner home in a nice neighborhood. And the successor trustee picked that one that was $60,000 less than the next, than the one they took.
So are you obligated to present those? So, because as realtors, we have to present factual information that we know we to have, our clients.
Well, we know that the buyer wants them to see the love letter. I tell my sellers there's a love letter here. And I don't call it a love letter when I do it.
Yeah.
I say there is a note from this particular buyer wanting you to pick them. Now, with your permission, let's just put that aside and let's go over the business portion of the offers.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to get involved in an emotional transaction. I mean, it's my job to bring a business head to the transaction, not an emotional one. And the seller can be emotional if they choose to, though. Sometimes a seller will say, well, I want to read it. Well, you can read it, but it will tear at your heartstrings. It will really pull your heartstrings. Right. But money talks. So, and then the other terms of the contract, like you don't want to take a terrible offer. I got an offer in this week on a listing that asked the sellers to take their house off the market for 5 months while this particular buyer tried to sell their house. So a contingent offer to close in July. And it wasn't even a good price. Well, they didn't even offer a good price.
Yeah.
So usually contingent offers go for a higher price.
Right, because you have to give them a reason to say yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, they gave no reason to say yes to this offer whatsoever. Yeah. But on the love letters, sometimes people decide to do them. So what do they put in these love letters, Mark? What do you think?
So, you know, I have used love letters.
Yes.
When at certain times, I haven't in the past year. They've kind of become out of.
Well, they don't get presented.
They don't get presented. Oftentimes, they'll say right in the listing, no love letters. So, you know, you want to use every tool you can to present your buyer's offer in the best light.
Right.
So things of this is, we've been looking for X amount of months. This is the home that fits everything. We can tell that you've taken care of it, and we look forward to taking care of it in just the same way.
Right. Well, yes, but it's not going to get presented.
Right. And it's one something that is we're seeing happening less and less. And the caution that I always am concerned about is not straying into those fair housing.
Well, and the thing is now, it's not, this is my take on it. Are you ready? Because there is nothing in the fair housing laws that prohibits you from passing along a letter.
Right.
Now, if you read the letter and realize that they say we realize that there's a lot of Polynesians here or something, whatever the nationality or ethnic group is, in this neighborhood, so we think we would fit right in. Please sell us the house, basically. Or anything else. You know, there's a lot of retired people here, older people that are single, and we would just fit right in. Now, age is a state requirement, by the way. You can't discriminate against age. That's not in the fair housing law. So, but familial status, single, is
protected.
It's a protected class.
Right. Yeah, and that is one that we see broken all the time.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about that when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking love letters and buyers and sellers, and how do you get your offer accepted as a buyer in this market? And there's just all sorts of little tricks, but one of these has been these love letters.
Yes, for sure. Okay, let's first of all, we mentioned the Fair Housing Act.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Fair Housing Act. This Fair Housing Act is actually Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, and it was amended in 88 to include other additional things. So what does it do now? It prohibits discrimination in rental, sales, financing, appraisal, and insurance of housing and housing-related transactions based on the protection of certain classes. And these protected classes are race, color, national origin, religion, sex, familial status. So, okay, and familial status includes children under the age of 18 living with parents or legal custodians, pregnant women, and people securing custody of children under the age of 18, and handicap, or the ADA, like American Disabilities mm-hmm. Act. So you cannot discriminate against those folks. And the state of Oklahoma throws in age. You cannot discriminate against age. So when a realtor gets involved in describing a property, the property, often they say, what's a description, Mark?
Oh, boy. One of the most common ones is, this home is perfect for a growing family.
Well, that's familial status.
Right.
We can't say that. However, I get dinged on the data checker when I say the kitchen cabinets have been painted white, because the word white is automatically data checked so that someone can't refer to a white person. Now, that's dismissed. They check it.
Okay.
Physically.
It just gets checked because you've used
the
that
data
term.
Checker catches certain terms.
It's like the Facebook fact checkers in
it
there.
And another thing I get dinged real often is the mother-in-law suite. This is an example.
Uh-huh.
The mother-in-law suite, which, now that's a term.
It's a term describing.
The mother-in-law suite's fine.
Right.
You don't get dinged on that because
that's
a term.
Fine. Yeah.
However, is located privately down a hallway opposite the other bedrooms. Private. Because that's like exclude. The data checker sees
says
the word.
You may be excluding someone.
If you use the word private.
Yeah.
Then it has to be checked by a human being to be sure that you did not say it's private and we're excluding people.
In a discriminatory way.
Right.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Right.
So it's one of those. Yeah.
I know.
That's where, you know, what we do, we use our wording is very careful. And it's because, there's reason for it, though, because there's been historically wrong that has been done. There's discriminatory that has been done.
Well, and it still happens.
And it does.
Yeah. But I will tell you, when it comes to most realtors, we do not discriminate. Lenders, they go out of their way not to, typically.
Right.
Now, you're going to get a bad apple in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But for most of us that work in the industry, you're going to find us very compliant. Because if we're not compliant, they'll take our license away, too.
Well, and I would say the vast, vast, vast majority of realtors are people. I mean, they
yes.
love people, typically across the spectrum. That's kind of a little bit of our personality makeup.
Do you know something? When people apply to work with me, I listen for certain things. And the worst thing anyone can say is, I've just always loved houses. I love looking at them. I love drawing sketches of them. I just have always loved houses, love seeing houses. I've just dream of what our dream house would be. That's not what our business is about, is houses.
Yeah.
It's people.
It's the people.
What I want to listen for is, I love to listen to people about what their needs are in housing. So
right.
It makes a difference. I mean, you know, you're working with people. You're not working with houses. Now, you do have to know an awful lot about a house to be a really good realtor. I will say that because you gain a lot of information as you go along.
But I want to tell, most of the time, it's not the house that throws us a curveball. It's the people that throw us a curveball.
Sometimes it's a house.
Sometimes it's a house.
Condition and stuff.
Every now and then it does.
And we're not experts on condition.
Yeah.
Now, if we go to a house and we see shingles hanging from the roof that weren't attached real good, and there's five or six shingles laying in the yard, we're going to say, man, you better get your home inspector to look at this roof.
So I had a new buyer this week that just love working with. They have spent 20 years in India.
Wow.
And have moved back home. They are purchasing a home, and they're like, we want to be away from people because every time we stepped out of our door, it was just a crowded environment. And so we went to this one house that was very busy. It was $300,000 house and had a structural engineering report that needed at least 15 piers in it. And along with all sorts of a lot of maintenance that was deferred. And they started with, Mark, what do you think about this house? I'm like, well, let's start with what you think, because that's really what's most important.
Right.
So tell me what your thoughts are. Yeah. And so then we started down the road, and we had a wonderful conversation, and we talked about inspection period. But in this market, that house, even within that condition, was going to have multiple offers.
Right.
Because of location and because of price point.
Right. Because it's a price point achievable by a lot of people.
By a lot of people.
Because we have low interest rates.
Right.
Right?
Yep. So it was, but you start going, how do you get in that kind of situation, your buyer in the best position to make the best offer possible?
Well, of course, money is the main thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not the offering money. It's the net money to the seller.
Yeah.
Sometimes timing is more important than money. Sometimes they need to wait until the end of the school year to get to move. And so timing to let the seller stay in the property and not close until the end of the school year, that's important, maybe more important than the highest price.
Yeah.
A really good lender letter, if you're not cash, where there's a lot of cash money running around right now. But if you're financing to do the most money down you can, the highest earnest money you can put up, and, you know, you just have to make your terms something that is attractive, tempting for the seller to choose yours.
Here's the way that I always describe it to my buyers is, let's give them a reason to say yes. And we'll take our best shot at it. And there's a different ways you can do it. You can say yes to a higher number. You can say yes to a faster or a slower. And you try to discover what is it that's important to that seller.
Sometimes on the closing date, you know, we put a seller to choose closing date between these dates, which are about 5 weeks apart.
Yeah.
And let the seller choose when it's going to close it to fit them. So that's showing at least that you're really concerned about what the seller is going to do and how to make things easy on them. Another way is to write an escalation clause. And we can talk about that.
Let's talk about escalation clauses. Let's talk about as-is contracts. When we come back on the Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking about multiple offers and love letters and escalation clause is what we're going to get into. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Escalation.
Escalation.
In real estate, an escalation clause is language that you write into a purchase contract or an offer, not a contract. I constantly get on to you guys,
she don't constantly corrects us that when you write an offer, you don't write a contract.
Right. It gets signed into a contract if accepted. And then, so an escalation clause is language written into a purchase offer that automatically increases your purchase price by a certain amount of money above competing offers. Okay? So that way you can be the highest.
Yeah. And this is one of my favorite tools to use in this past, you know, year and a half has been, we've used this quite a bit.
Do the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission hates the escalation clause.
Yeah.
Yet they wrote an addendum that is an escalation clause. It says right in the addendum, we don't want you to use this.
Yeah.
We don't like this.
The wording of the escalation clause basically states, we are going to make you an offer of $200,000, for example. However, we are willing to go up to $220,000 by $1,000 increments if you have another competing offer that is over $200,000.
Yeah. So if the offer's higher than my offer, we'll increase my offer by $1,000 above the highest offer, or $500 or whatever your dollar amount is in there.
Yeah.
Above the highest offer, but you put a maximum on that.
Yes.
That's kind of the clue right there. So it increases your chances of actually winning the offer is by doing exactly that. Now, listing agents are pretty tight-lipped on how many offers they have. I ask my sellers, when I list a property, is it okay if I tell someone about that we have another offer or other offers? And it's part of our listing agreement. Now you check, yes, it's okay, or no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them to say, yes, it is. And then I write in there at broker's discretion, because sometimes you may have a pitiful offer on the table and you have a realtor on the other line that you know is writes good offers. So you don't want to discourage someone from competing against a pitiful offer, right?
Right. That's the so some people do not want to be in a multiple offer situation.
They don't want to compete.
They don't want to compete.
They don't want to get carried away at an auction, basically.
Yeah.
So if you want to see someone get carried away at an auction, you just have to go to an auction with me, because at charity auctions.
You at charity auctions. I do like to. It's a sight to behold.
I like to win.
Yeah.
So, but I go in the spirit of charity. You're going to donate a certain amount of money anyway, right? So the escalation clause really just gives you a better advantage. But there's things that you really need to keep in mind when you're buying a house, when you're making these offers. And we're going to go over a few of those. But I had a buyer ask me this week, made offers on 6 properties, going to buy 4 properties, and said, when it came right down to it, she said, Becky, which of these realtors do you know? And there were 2 that I knew well. The others, I didn't really know. And she said, let's go after the ones that you know real well, because they will know your reputation and that you come with good buyers and that your deals close. So now this happened to be a mortgage lender from another state that was purchasing in Oklahoma.
And so she knew the industry.
She did know the industry.
That matters.
Knew it well.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of difference for her, right? So there's things that you need to build a rapport as a realtor with other agents. You have to have a good reputation in the world you live in, and we live in the real estate world. So, but there's things that you need to ask yourself before you start putting out ridiculous escalation clauses. And that is, can you afford it? Your high number that you're putting out there, can you really afford it? So calculate it on the highest number you put and see if you're willing to do that. And then, does the house really have your must-haves? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you making a bid on a house that is a three-bedroom house with a study or an office when really what you need is a four-bedroom house? So, I mean, be sure it fits your needs.
Yeah.
Is it a step-down living room when you've got someone that uses a walker in your house? You can't put yourself in a treacherous position just because you want to be the winner on a bid of a house. So is it in the right area for you? I mean, is it 20 miles across town from where you work, from where you go to school, that kind of thing? I mean, is it where you want it to be? Does it back up to a busy street? Does it back up to a neighborhood park? I mean, you got to think about those things. So is it in the area you want it to be in? And is it right for the future? Is it good for you just this year? Or are you thinking about maybe 2 or 3 years down the road? Will it still be good for you? Because 2 or 3 years down the road, we could be in a different position when it comes to interest rates. And you don't want to sell your 4% interest rate for a 6% interest rate house, right?
Right. Yep.
So, yeah. So now, but do you really need to sleep on it? What would you say to someone if they say, I really need to sleep on it? I go, well, it would get pretty wrinkled up. That offer would get pretty wrinkled if you sleep on it. The thinking, the decision making, the pondering needs to be done before you ever go out and look at houses.
Yeah. I tell buyers all the time that in this market, we need to plan right, think right, because when we find what meets your must-haves and some of your really want-to-haves, we need to jump. Like, you need to be ready to jump, which means we got to do all that prep work.
Yes, you have to know what you're looking for, mm-hmm. what your price range is, the area of town, what's going to meet your needs not only now, but a little ways into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you have to plan, then you have to look. Plan, set your boundaries, then look. But then you have to be ready to act.
Mm-hmm.
You have to jump pretty high nowadays, not just jump, but jump pretty high to actually buy a house, because there's just so few homes on the market that when you put a house on the market, if you price it right, if it's in reasonably good condition, you're going to get more than one offer on it. If it's kind of in that price range, anything under, about $400,000.
Yeah.
You get up into the upper threes and into the fours. There's less people that can qualify for that. With the interest rates, they can all qualify for a lot. So, right? So, and then does it just feel good to you? Does the house feel good? I remember walking into my house in Rollingwood. First time I saw it, I walked into the entry. I looked straight ahead. I looked to the left. I looked to the right. And it was not a real big open floor plan like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see enough, and I looked at the realtor, who was the listing realtor. I represented myself on buying. And I said, Marie, unless there's something really weird about this house, I'm going to buy it. And there were multiple offers. So what did I do? I went up on my price and offered and that was back in the late 70s. But we're kind of in a market like we were in the late 70s during the oil boom.
And just in my realtor world, nothing says I love you like cold hard cash. When we come back, we're going to come back with smoking hot deals on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time for a smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deals are brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food.
Ate there yesterday.
What'd you have?
Fish and shrimp soup.
I'm proud of you.
Took advantage of a little bit colder weather to get fish and shrimp soup.
Yeah.
It is wonderful.
It is so delightful.
Big old bowl, and that it was full of fish and shrimp too. Which usually it's
like a
brothy
broth
type soup.
Yeah.
But, and it was still, you got this big bowl, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, it was wonderful. So, Casa Perico, one of my favorite places. Okay. Our smoking hot deal is a commercial listing this time. Okay. So this is in Guthrie. If you are looking for about a 3,300 square foot single level property, this has been used before as a therapy office and a church. So it's got some offices.
Yeah.
Well, it's got, well, I mean, you can use it for anything you want to use it for. It's got a great big parking lot. That's one of the best things is the big parking lot on this. And it is listed at $225,000. It's hard to find 3,300 square feet. It's a brick building, single story.
Where's it at in Guthrie?
It is at 315 North 20th Street. So that's on the west side of Guthrie. And it's by a medical center. It's right off of, I believe it's Noble. If I can, just north of Noble Avenue. So it's a great building. For $225,000.
That is a smoking hot deal.
That is a smoking hot deal.
Marissa and I, this last weekend, went up to Guthrie. Spent Valentine's Day weekend kind of just on Saturday night going to Gage's Steakhouse and Mike and Ike's downtown. And then we went to a Valentine's haunted house. That was,
did not know we, there was
I
such a thing.
I have never heard of one, never. And it was as crazy fun as you would think. Yeah, we had a great time. But Guthrie, I just didn't.
And I brought you in to talk about love letters. And
I
you
know.
Went to a haunted house.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's cool.
They made us unwed, but then they annulled it.
The unwedding?
Yeah. So then we're married, I guess. If I'm following all the negatives correctly, we're still married. So
that's funny. Okay, we've been talking about when you make an offer on a house. Now, commercial property, I don't think I've ever had a love letter on a commercial property. Like, we're going to use it for this, and you should pick us so that we can use it. Now,
I would think a nonprofit might nonprofits, use that.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They tug at those heartstrings as well. But a business does not.
Yeah.
It's business. They've got a business head, right?
Yeah.
But the nonprofits will write a love letter saying, hey, this is a worthwhile thing. We're going to buy it for this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things we started seeing, and I haven't seen them in a while, is as is contract. Someone saying, we're going to take this property as is, and you can waive investigations. It's something that
you can waive investigations, but you can't say it. You can't waive investigations by saying we're not going to do any inspections, because paragraph 7 of our Oklahoma Real Estate Commission contract form gives a whole page and a half about what happens during investigations, inspections, and reviews. So even if you put in your offer that you're going to purchase as is, unless you strike paragraph 7, you're buying with investigations. And frankly, that is a good – it'd be real hard for me to suggest someone buy property without investigations and inspections. We did that this week. I mean, wrote the offers last week. And then I talked to these people and I said, don't you even want to have someone look at the roof? We're in Oklahoma. This person's not in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know that we have 70 mile an hour winds like we had this week. I said, Robin's Roofing will go out there for you and will investigate these roofs and let you know what you're purchasing. You at least need to know what you're purchasing. Well, after they did that, they opted out of a property because it not only had a bad roof that needed to be replaced, it had multiple layers on the roof, which you rarely see anymore.
Yeah.
But so they opted out of that contract because they were within their inspection period. So
I had a similar, I mean, we didn't get into the offer and contract part of it, but I was out with a new buyer and they're just moved to the state and they said, oh, the roof is 8 years old. Oh, the roof is pretty new.
That's what this one was too. It was a 10-year-old roof.
I was like, well, 8-year-old roof in Oklahoma is not really considered new. That's pretty much about the average lifespan of a roof in Oklahoma.
Our roofs, if without a weather element, they last usually about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a weather element about once a week. So now it's possible. We had one time we had this house down by Shepherd Mall and it had 3 layers on the roof and it was insured. We had 3 huge hailstorms come through. That was back in like 2010 when we had the softball size hail coming at a high velocity.
I have a picture of that day.
Yes.
Of softball size hail in my hand. I'd
yes.
never seen it before that day.
I saw it once when I was a small kid, but that was a day. Well, we had 3 hailstorms that year and they kind of hit some of them hit the same parts of town. One of my agents had to replace her roof 3 times in 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, because of the hail.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this one house, we kept waiting for the weather to hit it so it could be replaced. What did we do? We finally gave up. Seller bit the bullet, had the roof replaced. Next month, hailstorm came and hailed it out. It was, it's comical in hindsight. It was not comical
at the time.
No, because, that was so much money out of pocket.
Yeah.
But that's, luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah.
But buying a property as is one thing, but buying it without inspections is quite another.
Yeah.
What if you ran into a mold issue where it's growing inside a wall somewhere? We had that recently. Remediation.
Run. Right.
Could be very costly on mold if it's widespread.
Yeah.
Because you got to tear out sheetrock and have hazmat suits and all this kind of stuff. So, write your love letter if you want to, but do know that nobody is obligated to present it. But did you know what I found when I was looking for this? I was looking to see if somebody had written or laws concerning real estate love letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of like Googling and kind of researching a little bit. There, you can buy love letters. You can buy templates for your love letter, just like you would buy a template for a birthday party or a wedding invitation. You can insert your picture into it and it has the picture, couple of pictures with a little heart outline. And they're not all that much money. They're about $7 to $12, but you have a template that you can purchase to write your love letter.
Well, I'm glad to know the same way I passed college is still out there. You can just purchase the term paper.
There you go. I'm sure.
Last thing, as is, this as is term that our contracts are actually as is.
Our contracts are as is. They're cash transaction as is. You have to add addendums to do anything else. Now, there's usually negotiation between a buyer and seller about repairs after investigations, inspections are done, but they are written as is. It obligates the seller to fix nothing. But sometimes if the seller really wants to sell their house, they're going to fix something.
Well, we'll be back next week talking more about love, talking about septic tanks.
That's a little bit different, isn't it?
When we come back next week, we'll see you. Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.